speaking on the issues that impact. Johnny Vedmore on today's News Talk TNT.
Welcome back to the Johnny Vedmore Show on today's News Talk TNT. If you don't know, that little clock tower that's behind me there, that is the City Hall of Cardiff, which is just down the road from where I am. And just on the other side is the museum. And that is a little dragon, a little Welsh dragon that sits on top and watches across the Civic Centre. Just to let you know where I am and what I'm doing. On this week's show, most of our focus has been on the trans debate and vaccine injuries. These are two of the biggest issues of our day. And we will be talking about other issues. But I also want to collect testimony on the Johnny Vedmore Show and eventually build compilations focusing on specific issues too. So there's a reason to some of this. It's going to be a larger collection eventually. And it's really important to be speaking to people with a range of experience to understand and make sure these voices are out there. So today we started off by speaking with Dave, who we just heard, who's standing up for young women. And soon we'll speak to a woman who was a victim of the trans agenda. These voices are so important because they were totally kept out of the trans debate on the MSM. Those voices need to be raised loud and proud, really as regularly as we can. And today, as I may have mentioned earlier, the Scottish government announced a pause on puberty blockers. That has happened not because the Scottish government are kind, but because the pressure put on by campaigners worldwide. And, of course, the risk that they may be taken to court and sued for large amounts of money. Whenever there is a push to incorporate or normalise trending issues into everyday life, people who originally disagree don't have the vocabulary at first to fight against it. Vocabulary is often everything when most of it is about debate. When the trans debate first started being ever prevalent on our media, everyone who disagreed was left in a state of shock and awe. Suddenly, a range of newspeak entered into our shared lexicon, with words like identify, they, them, non-binary, and others being used in ways we were not used to. The voices which began to ring out during this shift in language seemed to be well prepared. Jordan B. Peterson, Ben Shapiro, and J.K. Rowling were suddenly, and in my opinion, a little bit suspiciously, thrust into the debate. Since then, I've watched all of these people gain massive fuel from speaking about the trans issue, and at the same time, I have made other observations which may be of note. The majority of the people who became household names by fighting an abhorrent agenda don't use the same logic in other debates. In fact, whether it's the vaccines or whether it's on Palestine, the vast majority of big names who stood out on the trans issue went on to support Israel's occupation and genocide in Palestine and also pushed the experimental vaccines on their audiences. Of course, after the majority of their audience had already taken three jabs, the same people suddenly opened up to the idea that there could be issues with the vaccines. This all seems organized and contrived to me personally, in my opinion. People who support Shapiro or Peterson were happy to follow their advice because, simply put, they agreed with them on another important issue. Many solidified by their vocal opposition to the transgender agenda. Do you see a pattern? Not just on the trans issue, but all throughout history. The people who are fed to you as social commentators may disappoint you once you've realized what narratives they go on to seed into the public discourse. Whether it's finding out that H.G. Wells, George Orwell, and Rudyard Kipling were Fabians, or that Fat Mike, Jello Biafro, and Dave Grohl were happy to promote Big Pharma lies, we should be careful about who we follow, especially when they've captured our hearts and or our minds with other emotive subjects. Remember, if debate is seeded into the public discourse by people you then go on to trust on other issues, the problem is you. You have to judge each issue by its individual merits and stop being led like sheep. Now, just before we continue, a message that I've been giving you regularly. How do you fancy a bank holiday weekend at a music festival for Truth and Freedom Tribe? That's us. With 30 awake artists, including Danny Rampling and Mobius Loop, an all-night acoustic fire pit, bouncy castles and Hope Sussex for the children, plus loads of amazing stalls and scrumptious food vendors. This is an event not to be missed by anyone who is aware of the truth in the world. A stand in the park and the light paper present Stand in the Light, a true music festival, a truth music festival, and a true music festival too, in the beautiful Lake District on May 24th to the 27th. You get 4 days camping and full access to the whole festival for just £60 plus a booking fee. Children under five come free. There is no better bargain anywhere in the world. Again, that's my opinion. Visit our website now and to make sure you don't miss what is going on to be a brilliant weekend for the whole Freedom family. StandInTheLight.uk. Also, did you know that there are many ways you can listen to TNT? Why not stream us direct from our website on your desktop, laptop, or mobile device, or download our app from the App Store? We even stream live on YouTube, Rumble, and X. We've got you covered on TNT.
Keeping the commitment 24/7.
I've been in the car all day and I got to listen.
Can't get enough of it.
You guys are doing a great job.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Looking forward to this one. On Wednesday, Google quickly moved to fire 28 of its employees who participated in a sit-in protest against the company's provision of artificial intelligence and cloud services to Israel. Yes, remember, don't be evil. Here with the story, joining me once again is TNT News producer Adam Clark. Ruckus, tell me more about this.
Sure, Johnny. I know you said don't be evil because that used to be Google's mission statement or something. I don't think it is anymore. And these protesters did bring that up, of course. But the lesson learned here is if your company is evil, they are allowed to be. And you, of course, can protest against such evils. But if you expect to keep working there, you got another thing coming. because labor laws do generally, of course, give a green light to employee strikes and other disruptive actions, which are aimed at things such as wages and work conditions. However, protesting your employer's choice for customers is something else altogether. A handful of employees just learned that the hard way today. These protests that they participated in were organized by a group called No Tech for Apartheid, which had declared Tuesday a quote-unquote day of action at Google. At issue, Google's Project Nimbus. This is a $1.2 billion cloud and AI contract with Israel and the Israeli Defense Forces use of Google photos in Gaza, quote, which has led to the arrest, imprisonment, and torture of thousands of Palestinians with little to no evidence, end quote. That is according to the group, again, No Tech for Apartheid, who also said, quote, it's clear that the Israeli military will use any technology available to them for genocidal means, end quote. As we've probably heard some of us discussing this already on this network, but last week there was a magazine, Plus 972 magazine from Israel. They cited Israeli intelligence officers and reported on the Israeli Defense Force's expansive use of AI in its war on Gaza in a system called Lavender. One source said of this, quote, human personnel often served only as a quote unquote rubber stamp for the machine's decisions, end quote. Apparently, they typically spent only 20 seconds worth of time to review AI-selected targets, quote, just to make sure the lavender-marked target is male, end quote. The Intel sources said that particularly during the early days, the majority of the resulting dead were, quote, women and children or people who were not involved in the fighting, end quote. The protests earlier this week on Tuesday were staged in Google's Sunnyvale, California, Seattle, and New York City offices. They including they live streamed sit-ins lasting approximately 10 hours. This was a pretty long protest. They were not just hanging around in the hallways or lobbies. In Sunnyvale, they took over the personal office of Google Cloud CEO Thomas Kurian and wrote a list of demands on his whiteboard. Cops were called. The police had to get involved, and eventually 9 employees were arrested for trespassing. Wow. In a statement, Google explained their rationale for bringing down the hammer on these employees, quote, physically impeding other employees' work and preventing them from accessing our facilities is a clear violation of our policies and completely unacceptable behavior. After refusing multiple requests to leave the premises, law enforcement was engaged to remove them to ensure office safety. We have so far concluded individual investigations that resulted in the termination of employment for 28 employees and will continue to investigate and take action as needed, end quote. For their part, the group No Tech for Apartheid condemned the terminations. The group said in a statement, quote, this flagrant act of retaliation is a clear indication that Google values its $1.2 billion contract with the genocidal Israeli government and military more than its own workers, the ones who create real value for executives and shareholders, end quote. Well, Johnny, I guess No Tech for Apartheid must have been not be paying attention to how all of these jobs are going to be replaced with robots and AI. But what say you, my friend?
If you work for Google, I think you probably deserve to be fired, whatever you're doing. So, I mean, yeah, okay, they were doing the best thing they could possibly do by protesting this and raising the voice up a bit. But still, I mean, you work for evil, you get evil. That's how it is. Google is evil in, evil out. I mean, what they do on a basic, just if you just look at their search engine and you just decide to search for something, I can promise you that masses of the information, videos, interviews I've been on are not available to be found on a Google search engine. These guys have their fingers in almost every single pie, and it's not a surprise that their executives can't handle a little protest here or there. It would have probably been better for them if they're just not been so quick to fire these people and would instead allowed the protest to go. That might have helped them, but of course they can't stop themselves from being evil, because unfortunately they're a big googly monster, aren't they? They're a big googly tentacle monster. You can't stop them. They love it. And this, I mean, what you're talking about, again, we talked about lavender slightly before quickly, but when you actually look into what lavender actually is, I mean, that's 20 seconds. 20 seconds. It means basically when they decide, ooh, is the target we're looking at a male? Yes, he is. Press the button. It means that every male. Not many people stand up for the males. It's like either let's stand up for the kids first, women second, trans folks and other trending ideologies third, then let's look at the males. Oh no, let's just press this button and murder them because they're a man. It doesn't mean, just because you're a man doesn't mean you're a terrorist, but that's how the Israelis see them. If the Israelis have AI tools used, they're using to bomb people, as long as they're male, they're no longer selecting targets efficiently or effectively. They're just looking to murder military aged men. which of course I think must be somewhere written within Nuremberg code. I mean, right down at the bottom in the small print maybe, but still, to target people just because they're military age men, whether or not they are actually doing anything, must be a war crime. This is a conflict full of war crimes though, isn't it?
Oh yeah. And don't get me wrong, the protesters, as far as I'm concerned, have every right to be upset about this. But I'm going to say something awfully controversial here. I might suggest that the people who participated in this particular protest are just doing it for clicks and likes and trying to be cool. They want to hop onto this thing while it's still around, because otherwise, why would they still be working there? It's not like they just woke up and found out about this. They've been upset about it for a while. If I found out my employer was responsible for killing innocent people, I would no longer work there. I would leave in a big hurry and tell everyone why I left. I wouldn't stay there and stage a protest. But hey, that's just me, Johnny.
Yeah, that's because you don't work for Google. And like I say, you know what I mean, all I'm going to say is if you work for Google, you deserve to lose your job. Maybe be relocated to Gaza. If you work for Google, you should be relocated for Gaza, and only if you're a military-aged male. See how that works out for you. Anyway, thanks for joining me again, Ruckus. That was fantastic news to hear that some people got fired. It's a very sad state of affairs, though. You'll be joining us for Friday's Johnny Vedmore show tomorrow, won't you?
Oh, I will be there, my friend. See you then.
I love it. Okay, you're listening to today's News Talk, TNT.
TNT's David Curtin.
I really don't think that they've thought this through, because say you get to the year, okay, 2040, and anyone who's under 31 will not be allowed to buy cigarettes, and anyone who's over 31 will be allowed to. How is that going to be enforced? Will the shops require ID from 20-year-olds and 30-year-olds and 40-year-olds in the future to see whether they're allowed to purchase tobacco products or not? At the moment, there's no issue, as I say, but in the future, it's going to be completely ridiculous. I don't think that shops will want to do that. It will be essentially unenforceable.
David Curtin on today's News Talk, TNT. A better business tip from TNT Radio. The benefits of advertising on today's News Talk, TNT Radio, should be clear to businesses of any shape or size. It can be accessed anywhere, anytime, by anybody, and is the perfect way to build brand awareness and stimulate digital activity. If you'd like more information about advertising on TNT Radio, simply fill out your details on our contact page and we'll be in touch. To find out more, go to tntradio.live.
Turn on Alexa and ask her to play
TNT.
Turning on anything else usually requires dinner and conversation, dressing up and brushing your teeth. I'm already tired.
This is today's News Talk, TNT.
Welcome back, my friends, to the Johnny Vedmore Show, where we're going to have a really interesting conversation with another person who is detransitioning. Now, yesterday I spoke with Scott Nugent, who has set up organizations aiming to help people detransition. But Scott made it clear that physically speaking, he's come to terms with how he looks post-transition. But everyone is an individual, especially when it comes to their own journey. And these journeys are incredibly challenging, to say the least. So I'm joined by a lady today who's completely beautiful human. She describes herself as a tomboy who's politically homeless. Many of us are politically homeless nowadays, though, so I think she just joins the majority. But she is clearly so much more than that. Today, Luca Hain is going to tell us her experience, and I thank her so much for summing up the courage and the fortitude to speak to me today. You're clearly a special one. Luca, welcome to the Johnny Vedmore Show.
Hi, thanks for having me on. I always love an opportunity to kind of talk about what I've been through.
Yeah, it's a hard one. I talking out about your life it makes you feel a little bit yucky inside. So I know that the sort of, like, I've done it a fair few times as well, and I, you know, it's that feeling inside that you're exposing yourself to the world, and you've got such a important story that I think it's vital to hear your voice. That's for sure. So clearly you've been through some tough times. So can you tell us where it all began?
Yeah, so the kind of beginning of this whole thing starts when I was a young teenager, as a lot of, you know, young teenagers do. I had a lot going on in my life. My parents had just split up. I was going through puberty, going to a new school. And on top of that, I had going on issues with being like groomed and exploited online. Kind of fell into these rabbit holes on the internet, on social media, during a time in my life where I felt like I didn't have anyone else. And there were predators online that took advantage of that. And as a result of that and everything else, you know, going on, along with a good amount of just like normal teenage angst around everything, I ended up falling down the rabbit holes of, if you don't like this thing about yourself, be it like your, you know, your growing breasts or your period or stuff like that, if you don't like that, or if you have these certain interests, you're not a girl, you're a boy that's been born in the wrong body. And I really, you know, disconnected from my body during this time. I heavily disassociated, and it ended up putting me down the path of medical transition.
Yes, I tell you, it fills me up a little bit with all sorts of different emotions, because I am a bit older than you, so I didn't have the internet there. I didn't have this like tool of mass media there. And I went through some of the same struggles. I was groomed by a prolific pedophile for 2 years. I doubted myself. I wasn't given support, so I lost a lot of confidence. I didn't kind of know who I was, and I felt like I had a bit like I think someone told me when I was young, oh, you have spotlight syndrome, and I'm afraid to be looked at. I'm afraid to be noticed. I'm afraid to stand out. So hide under long hair and etc. Now, if someone had given me an opportunity to change something about myself, I think I would have jumped on board with that. So I completely understand. I completely sympathize. How did your family first react when you first was decided that this is like the process you were going to go towards?
Well, they were, and we were all really only given that, like, okay, this is the one path forward. The fact that, like, oh, I could grow out of these feelings, or if I had gotten like legitimate, like trauma-informed care, that would have noticed that everything that was happening there was clearly, you know, me trying to become someone else to escape what had happened. If I had gotten either of those things, I feel like it would have ended up very differently. But we were only presented of, okay, well, if this is the issue, this is your path forward. And my parents were also almost immediately made aware of, well, if you don't do this, there's a suicide risk. So we gotta do this, you know, putting that sense of almost emotional blackmail urgency onto them. And when you have every expert around you telling you, well, this is what you gotta do, it's rather easy to kind of quash any doubt you had. And that there was some, you know, concern, particularly from my mom, who was worried about things, except that was also, you know, just shut down really quick when you can easily say, well, if you don't do this, you know, your kid's gonna kill themselves. That is a terrifying thing for a parent to hear, like absolutely terrifying. So of course a parent is going to be like, okay, well, if this is the solution, then we need to do this, because I want my kid to live. You know, looking back at that, I know that, you know, just isn't how you should talk to a parent with a kid in crisis. That is not how you responsibly talk about suicide. That's not even really a true risk. And we know how to help people who are having those emotions, and it doesn't involve plastic surgery. And we know how to help people with that. We know how to get through it. And every kind of way this was addressed, looking back, was just not professional.
Yeah. Did anybody at all try and stop you, or was there any pushback from anyone you knew?
The only pushback I really ever received, and one of them was blatant, like, talking to me. And that was my mom who, before surgery, did like sit me down and tried. She wasn't, because this is just her personality and due to some other life things at the time, she wasn't like in a place where she could completely put her foot down. But she did try and like just talk to me like, are you sure about this? Are you, you know, what happens if this isn't the right choice? And of course, at the time I was 16, I had every professional around me telling me, no, this is the right choice. This is the real you. This is your authentic self. So naturally, of course, it came off as, well, why is she saying this? You know, because you have every single other person around you telling you, if they don't go along with this, that that's not the right thing to do. And the only other real pushback that I can think of would have been, I had a school counselor who didn't push back, I suppose, in the traditional sense, but did ask me a question that I don't think anyone else had really asked. And that being, I was in his office for, I don't know what reason, I can't remember, but I was in there and we were kind of talking about it. And he asked me, well, are you scared? Because this was right before I was supposed to have surgery. He's like, okay, are you scared? And I went, are you nervous? He went, are you scared? Are you nervous? And I was like, yeah. And he just said, I think you'd have to be crazy to not be. We kind of talked a little bit how it felt like everyone around me was acting like I shouldn't be scared at all about this. And those are the only two real times that come to mind for like times where people sat me down and were like, think about this from a different way than you're being told to.
That makes a hell of a lot of sense. That most people just want to support you in that sense, especially the people who love and care for you. Listen, we're going to take a quick break for the news. You're listening to Today's News Talk on TNT.
TNT Radio News.
I've got news for you, baby. I've got news for you, baby.
News.
For TNT, this is James O'Neill. The U.S. has escalated military tensions in the Asia-Pacific by deploying intermediate-range missiles in the Philippines, according to Russian ambassador to Washington, Anatoly Antonov. Boeing is accused of withholding crucial information from investigations concerning a door plug incident on a 737 MAX 9 jet during an Alaska Airlines flight in January, according to whistleblower Ed Pearson.
Why not give TNT Radio a follow? We're on all major social platforms, including Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Gab, and Getter. Help us get the word out as we cover the biggest topics of our time right here on Today's News Talk.
TNT Radio.
TNT Radio.
I feel lucky that I've...
You see, we're just having a little chat just off air then, and I was watching Luca smiling and laughing away, and it's really nice when we're having this sort of conversation here that you've not been completely defeated. I mean, talking out about it is one massive important thing, but keeping a sunny disposition in life, whatever the challenge is something that some people just don't have that tool. So I'm glad to see you've got that within your toolkit. You were talking about the medical professionals, like a lot of the people who were giving you this advice were all like saying, oh no, this is exactly what you should have. In retrospect, do you think they were also lost in the agenda, or were they simply following orders?
I think specifically with the people that I saw, They were true believers, is how I'm going to phrase that in this whole thing. Because these weren't just, oh, like your random, maybe like nurse at a Planned Parenthood that is just kind of there to write the prescriptions for people that walk in. These were people at like a university medical center that ran the clinic there specifically for transgender care. They were true believers, you know, associated like loosely with WPATH, all this stuff. They were people that, in a sense, I think they truly believe that they were helping people. And that thought process also comes from the fact that I was one of the people that, when I stopped taking testosterone, I went back to my clinic and told the doctor, like, hey, this was wrong. I don't think I could you know, consent to this at the time with everything going on. This is wrong. I am in pain. I am having these awful, you know, like quality of life affecting side effects from this. And you could tell they truly believe that, oh no, this should have worked, because the minute someone came back with, hey, I am in trouble, I am in pain, I am hurting, it was just a look of shock on her face. It was just a look of shock. It was a look of panic. It was a response of, well, this is just the next step of your gender journey, as opposed to, I'm going to help you like a doctor should.
Yeah, that's unbelievable, isn't it? And when you say they were true believers, well, that reminds me of Stan Lee, who the creator of Marvel. You say, hey, true believers. And it's kind of comic book in that sense, to reduce everybody's actions and interactions to that simple, oh, that's what you are, we all know this, and you should just accept it and go forward. It's kind of like living in a comic book reality rather than you realized afterwards, oh, I'm not happy with this. I'm having life affecting issues. I realize I'm not able to consent. But were you happy with the process at first? Was there a moment where you felt like, oh, I am definitely doing the right thing, and I'm so glad that I'm doing it?
Well, there were lots of moments like that, you know, leading up to this, when you're seemingly, one, you're a teenager and you're presented with what seems like essentially a catch-all explanation for what you're feeling. You know, it's a catch-all where, oh, you are, you know, you're anxious and you're depressed and you're having trouble at school, and you're having body image issues, and you just have this catch-all thing that's like, oh, if you take these steps medically, then all that other stuff is going to get better. It's going to get better. It's all like related to that. It's like this great band-aid that you can just slap over all these deeper issues and essentially move forward from there. You know, you also have the fact that it gave me an opportunity to be like, oh, you can become someone else. You can have this fresh start. No one will, you know, essentially think of you when you meet new people. No one will think of you as, oh, the girl whose freshman year of high school was in and out of a partial mental health program and was being groomed and preyed upon and had awful actions with the police, interactions with the police involving that. It was essentially a way of, okay, well, you can become someone else. You can leave all this trauma behind and you can pick a new name and you can say, that awful stuff, that didn't happen to me. That happened to someone else, and I am not that person anymore. And throughout the logic of, you know, the trans movement, you're not even allowed to refer to that person anymore. That's my dead name. You're not allowed to refer to that either. So it is this great escape for someone who was already disassociating heavily from my body, just through everything happening in my life at the time. It was this great escape. And then all of a sudden you have all these people around you that are praising you, that you've become your authentic self. This is awesome. You're so brave. You know, it's filling up your cup with, oh, everyone around you is affirming this. They are celebrating it. And I do mean celebrating it. And of course that feels good and makes you feel like you're on the right track. You know, of course, when you've been binding your chest for a year and it's hard to breathe and you have this thing physically constricting your rib cage, the option of doing something where you can get that same result and not have that pressure, of course that's going to feel good right after. When you start injecting testosterone that has antidepressant properties and is a literal steroid that's going to give you energy and make you feel like you're full of fire, of course that's going to feel right. It's going to feel good. You know, along this line, every step of this process is almost made so that you feel good no matter what.
It's very, I mean, when you talk about, that's such a positive potential psychological tool to realize, like, if you're dealing with trauma later on. When I was dealing with me being groomed and abused in different ways physically when I was young, bullied and beaten, I it took me until I was in my mid-30s to be able to face that sort of those memories. And by then I was able to say, well, I am a different person. My bones and my skin and everything have reformed over and over again, and I no longer know the same things, act in the same way. So from that point, that's such a positive, potential positive tool that they used in such a negative way to, you know, to leave you in a state where you're feeling that you weren't the same person as you were just 6 months ago or a year ago, where that's exactly, you know, that's not how life works. It takes a long time to become a different person. Were you in school or college during this period?
During transition or detransition?
Yeah, transition.
So I was in high school at the time. So I think like 14, 15, 16 is when the majority of this happened, at least like physically and socially. So I was in high school, and once I, you know, quote unquote, came out as transgender, which happened in a mental health facility, we then switched me from, I was at an all girls private school at the time, and then we switched me to a much larger public school after that. And from there it was kind of, you know, feet on the ground, we're going forward with it.
Well, listen, we're going to take another quick break, and then we'll get back into, so this is so, yeah, I'm so glad you're able to speak openly like this, and you're able to give us all this. Very important. So you're listening to today's news talk on TNT.
I said, could she die? And the doctor said she could. It was so scary.
When I started clawing at my neck and trying to breathe, and I thought, you know, what are we going to do if I die here? How's everyone going to go on?
When someone's gravely sick or injured in the bush, they rely on the Royal Flying Doctor Service. But now the Flying Doctor needs your help to fund vital medical equipment and supplies. Please search Flying Doctor online to give a regular gift of just $10. You can help equip the Flying Doctor's teams to respond to any emergency anywhere. Search Flying Doctor online. Become a part of the Royal Flying Doctor Service and help save lives in the bush.
One in four Australian women experience domestic violence in their lifetime. Staying is dangerous, but leaving can mean homelessness for them and their children. With your generosity, the Salvos can provide crisis services and ongoing support, helping women find a way out of violence and a way back into a safe and stable life. Help us leave no one in need. Please donate to the Red Shield Appeal today.
When the whole world seems turned upside down, we sort through it together. Johnny Vedmore on today's News Talk TNT.
Welcome back to the Johnny Vedmore Show on today's News Talk TNT. Talking to Luca Hein. I'm talking about detransitioning now, really. But you know, we're talking about all of your journey, Luca, and it's been one hell of a journey. Obviously, what were your teachers all kind of the same as well when you were in school? Then were they all like super supportive, but with blinkers on, with blindfold on?
Yeah, they were all pretty supportive. And I think a lot of that came from the fact that I was definitely probably one of the first like kids they had interacted with that had been dealing with this for some of them. And I would send them a little email at the beginning of the term being like, hey, could you call me this name? Could you call me he, him, or whatever? Because I was always very timid and like polite, and I'm like, I don't want to upset anyone, so I'm going to email them. And just hope that they're nice about it. But they were all very supportive. And I think that came a lot more from the kind of just be kind sentiment, like, oh, well, just be nice. It's not, you know, it's not hurting anyone to just be nice, like that kind of thing, which, you know, in a way it does end up hurting people, but it was just be nice. And I don't think any of them had like a super deep understanding of what exactly was going on, but I think they'd just been told, well, it's just a nice thing to do, so just do it.
Yeah. I mean, it's commendable to an extent. I'm looking in over in the chat right now, seeing Hope, Love and Peace say, what a brave young lady. Lots of people saying lovely things, like Wild Heather saying, well done, brave Luca, hats off to this courageous woman. And I suppose you've had a lot more support now from areas you probably wouldn't expect him to get support before, because a lot of these sort of people would have been against the idea of you transitioning in the first place. When did you start getting your, like, getting doubts? Was it the invasiveness of the medicine, medical procedures, etc., or was it just that you started to realize, I'm not trans at all? Oh, we paused out there. I think I've temporarily lost Luca, but she will be back soon. I'll have a quick look inside the chat again and see a lot of people talking about this, and talking about Wild Heather saying, these evil cretins are not daft, evil, but not daft. Is true indeed. And Hope, Love and Peace says, all about making these kids patients for life, evil indeed. And look, Luca has returned. Good. Welcome back. That's all right, you're here, that's all that matters. As long as you're here, that's all that matters. So when did, I was asking, when you first started getting doubts about transitioning?
It's a little bit convoluted, because during my freshman year of college, I had been on an SSRI and various like psychiatric meds for pretty much since before I transitioned up until I detransitioned. And I got to a point with that where during the spring of my freshman year of college, I was like, wow, I'm kind of sick of taking a pill every day. I'm doing so much better. I think I'm in a place where I would rather, like, if I'm still having any, you know, feelings that that's supposed to address, I would rather like tackle them head on without medication and build the skills for that, so that way I'm not relying on that. So I stopped that, was still taking testosterone at that point, because the whole I don't want to take a pill every day didn't quite click at that point with the I don't want to be putting my body on, you know, aggressive male hormones every day. Or every week, sorry. But I did that spring. You know, I went to go work my summer job. The whole medical stuff kind of went to the back burner, you know, because work stuff. I'm busy, I'm outside, I'm happy. I'm just distracted with other things. And then throughout that summer, I was like sore all the time. And I thought it was just because, oh, well, I have been outside, I'm walking a lot, I'm working outside, I'm lifting things, I'm doing all this stuff. I thought it was just that. I'm like, oh, I'm sure it will go away after the summer's over. That didn't go away. And then after that summer, I really started to think in a way that I just was not capable of as a 16-year-old when I was put on testosterone, about, okay, well, what do I want for my life? What do I, you know, want my future relationships, future like long-term relationships to look like? What do I want a possible family to look like? And just thinking about that, I got to a point where I was like, I'm in pain. I am very unsure about my future. I don't know what damage has been done if I want something like a family. And I also got to a point where I was like, wow, I am essentially, you know, chained to a medical system. At this point in my life, I was very big on, I am going to go find a cabin in the woods and I'm going to stay there away from people because I just want to be outside. And I was like, oh, I can't do that. I can't go on like little spontaneous trips or kind of move anywhere I want if I am chained to a medical system that requires I have doctors that can do blood work and get this prescription and get all this stuff checked. And so I got to a point where I was like, okay, I'm going to slowly stop testosterone. I looked on like the D-trans forums and realized that stopping it cold turkey was not a great option. And so I slowly stopped it, and it sucked, by the way. I essentially launched my body into like what I've been referring to as full blown, like chemically induced menopause. And at let's see, what I've been 20 at the time. Yeah. But so it was really just me being able to think about life and develop some of those like long-term planning things that I did not have at 16, because like no 16-year-old has that. They're a teenager. They're not known for their great long-term decision-making skills.
Yeah, indeed. And I'm looking across at the chat again, and someone's asked a question. Dark Commission, who I like very much, he's a very nice dude, says, is it going to be a time where you can put this behind you, or will this continue to be a lifelong issue, do you think?
I think it depends. If I break it down to different aspects of things, because like physically, I don't know. And that's one of the scary things, is I don't know what physically I will be able to put behind me versus what will stick with me health issue wise. And the scarier part is the doctors don't seem to know either, or they don't want to touch this issue at all. I got blood work done right after I got off testosterone, and I was extremely candid with this doctor about what was going on. I was like, here's what happened, here's my issues now, can we check something? And we got the blood work done, but after that she was like, I want to help you, but I don't know what to do with you. There is no protocol for this, which is terrifying to hear from a doctor. So there's the physical stuff, which to a certain extent I can put things behind me. Like obviously I'm not gonna get, you know, the body parts that are gone back when it comes to like my breasts. I don't know about if my joint pain's ever gonna go away. But in my day-to-day life, I can, you know, put on a mastectomy bra and go outside and essentially put it behind me in that sense, as long as people don't know who I am and what's happened. When it comes to stuff like, I guess you call activism, I think I'm going to put that behind me someday. I think it's, you know, it's helpful for me to share my story now. It helps people, it gives another perspective. However, detransition is not something that I am looking to become another identity to just replace the trans one. I don't want to swap those out. I think detransition really is a process that someday I will have finished and I will put behind me and, you know, go off and lead my life. Which is kind of why my Twitter is, you know, mainly just focused on this and not over encompassing, because there will come a day when I am at a point where I have, you know, completed whatever the process of detransitioning looks like for me, and I will lead my life.
It's amazing to hear how mature you are in your thoughts of where you're going to go in the future, because lots of people are broken by the circumstances that happen to them when trauma like this happens early on. You seem to be really ready to take the next steps into saying, this is my life, I'm going to live my life. And it's a real, again, commendable. There's lots to commend in your story, Luca. You should be very proud. And I think that comes across from everybody who responds to you as well, including the people in the chat, how I feel, how other people obviously interact with you. How much difference was there or is there in the amount of support you got to transition compared to the amount of support you're getting to detransition?
There is a very stark difference in terms of how many, you know, people in my life that were very much like, yes, you, when it comes to transitioning, they were like, yes, we support you, we're going to affirm you. And then when it comes to detransitioning, I don't think I have ever been asked, are you sure, so many times in my life that when it comes to, I made a mistake and I want to detransition and this was wrong. It is kind of insane, just the difference there, you know, when you compare like the amount of people that supported me going through this, all of a sudden, you know, being like, well, I don't want to talk to you anymore. I can't support you through this, or just straight up not, either not talking to me or being very weird when they do have to interact with me about it.
Yeah, I'm to be honest, I'm welling up a little bit. I'm looking over at the chat again, and the ladies in the chat and some of the other people in the chat. Hope, Love and Peace says, darling, you are here for a purpose. Penelope Pitstop's ghost, who I love very much, says, I sincerely wish you peace and happiness for all of the future, Luca. I think you have a lot of people who are real people who will happily support you out there. And a lot of the time it's just finding the people who will support you in the right way and then leaving the others behind. Now, talking about that, you're now in your early 20s and you're taking the doctors who performed the double mastectomy to court, which must be a grueling and stressful process in itself. What's that decision been like for you, and what would you like to see come from it?
The decision itself, I did think about for a while. Until I found someone who would be willing to do that. That's, you know, from the state I'm from. I'm located in the very like center of the United States, which anyone who's from here is like the cornfield area. I'm from the cornfield area. It was important to me to like find people that, you know, were from where I'm from to kind of take this on. And also make sure that I was in a place where I could handle everything that came with it. I know the week that the lawsuit dropped that I was suing my doctors, I made sure I was at my mom's house. Like, I drove from my apartment back home to my mom's house. And I just made sure I told my lawyers, I'm like, I'm not doing any press this week. I'm staying home and I'm staying off of the internet, because I was terrified because I had seen how activists had responded to other lawsuits that had dropped. Oh, did it freeze again?
I think Luca's gone again, and she may have frozen again. What an extraordinary lady. I hope she's back to be able to ask one more question. To be honest, I have one more question, which I think you'll all agree is a massively important question. I got one more question for you, Luca. Nice to see you back. We got a minute, just over. Okay. What do you think you would tell a young Luca to prevent them going forward with transitioning?
To just wait, that these feelings will pass. And also just telling myself that I am my body, regardless of the things that have happened. Because one of the biggest things I dealt with was just full-blown disassociation from my body. And unfortunately, I was born in a timeline where the culture encouraged that. And I think I would just say, wait, and it's okay to have the interests I have and, you know, be a tomboy. And there's so much more to life than worrying about this stuff. Don't let it consume your teenage years.
Luca, thank you for being completely open and courageous. I can only reiterate what I was saying at the start of the interview. You're a totally beautiful human. It shines out. You're a light. Keep that sunny disposition. It's been a pleasure to speak with you. Thank you for coming on.
Of course. Thank you for having me.
All my pleasure. So, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for giving me your time today. I am blessed to have you with me, of course, and I appreciate all the chat and the gusto. I've really enjoyed hearing you speak about stuff in the chat, backing me up on occasion, helping me out on occasion, asking questions on occasion. And for that, I am forever yours. We have one more day left in the week, and I'll be back with more conversation tomorrow. And be careful and be warned, tomorrow will be emotional for sure. Regardless, join me again for another Johnny Vedmore show. But until we meet again, enjoy yourself, keep safe, stay wide awake, and join me again tomorrow, usual time, on today's News Talk TNT.